What is up, everybody? This is Marshall from Limited Resources, and you are listening to Seven Land Hand.
Holy shit, that was Marshall from Limited Resources, and this is another Seven Land Hand Extra.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're talking modern like Picasso and Van Gogh, gawking over earlobe soup. We're busting a booster, Space Shuttle Challenger style, before crashing to Earth with flavor text, MTG card quiz, listener feedback, and more knob jokes than an erect door handle salesman chewing on a lump of cheese. Because they sell cheese as knobs of cheese.
Knobs of cheese, yeah.
See, are they knob shaped or are they like wedges and they just call them knobs?
Lumps of cheese.
They're penis obsessed, those cheese makers.
Oh, they come up, their cheese is penis shaped.
Oh, specific. Yeah. Does it have balls?
Penis cheese.
Yeah, sure.
I think Marshall's probably regretting giving us that intro.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, actually, maybe I'll listen to the next episode of Seven Land. Oh,
God.
I'm not going back there.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, I already miss Maddie, but as a consolation, today I'm joined by AWOL Aaron Graham.
I don't understand what that's in reference to.
I don't know. Just tune into the last week episode. And Cayenne Pepper Potts DeVry Turnell.
Oh, Cayenne Pepper.
Cayenne Pepper Potts.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. Cayenne Pepper Potts, how are you guys?
Yeah, doing good.
Gentlemen?
I realise Kian hasn't said anything yet.
No. I'm very excited.
I just tuned his...
just turned his microphone off.
Turned his microphone off, yeah. It's working well. I like it.
So no, I exist. Listen to me.
Let me begin.
What have you been up to?
Let me answer your question with a question, Dave. Where are cocktails?
What cocktails?
I heard some rumours, pictures about a cocktail.
We had a last episode. We did have a very nice episode last episode.
Yeah.
We had flowers and cocktails.
Flowers and cocktails? You never do that for me.
No, we had
terrible.
To dress up the pod, you know.
Had to dress it up, yeah.
You're not special, Aaron. Yeah. He did that for me the first time I came here.
did not do
David
it for Kian.
David and Kian?
No.
In the back room with cocktails and flowers. I walk in, I'm like, whoop.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw that from a distance.
Sitting in here today naked with you guys, it's just not the same.
It's just not the same.
It's not the same as it was with me and Maddie last time. It was
just you sitting naked in the room with Maddie.
My voice is definitely higher with the fellas hanging out.
Yeah, my balls are touching the cold metal of this chair.
Yeah, it just sticks to the plastic. And when you get up, like in about an hour's time, it's going to rip. And,
Woo!
All right.
One time I left a magic card in my mouth for so long because I was just like typing at home and I just had a magic card in my mouth. And it had dried. And when I finally took it out of my mouth, it like ripped most of the skin of my lip off. So that was pretty great.
Well, that's a good tip. See, we've kicked off early with a tip for young players.
Yeah.
How to incapacitate their opponent.
How long would you say a magic card can sit on the bottom lip without risking an injury like that?
I'd say keep it less than a minute, less than 60 seconds. Any longer than that, it's actually going to dry on the top layer of skin of your lip.
Right.
And then when you try and remove it, it's actually going to take off the top layer of skin of your lip.
How does foil?
Going to be quite
uncomfortable.
What about foil? Foils generally, from my experience, I did a lot of...
testing?
Yeah, a lot of testing with foils and stuff. They're more shiny, so they actually rub off your lips a lot easier, so you can leave foils in your mouth for longer. That's why they're more expensive, actually.
Do you ever get, on occasion, people say, what does it mean when you've got this I had a taste of metal in my mouth.
Yeah.
I think in this occasion, you could say it's because, you've got a foil card.
Well, magic card
in your mouth.
That's why.
For 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, did you have a foil magic card in your mouth? And they're like, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's sometimes what it is.
And if it tastes like fish, it might be a Japanese foil.
Yeah, they like whaling and stuff there. Let's assume that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, so, Kian, if you wake up with a salty taste in your mouth that's a bit fishy and and the door's closing as you wake up and your housemate's making breakfast and he's got a happy look on his face.
I'll make sure to check my Japanese foil collection.
Yeah,
from Japanese.
Japanese.
Oh, well, this has been a lot.
This devolved.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Great. We're going to have a good show today.
In summary, kids, 59 seconds, you're fine. 60 seconds, 61 seconds, your lip's fucked.
Yeah. That's what he tells his girlfriend all the time.
Yeah.
It's Buster Booster time.
Buster Booster.
Buster
like,
Booster.
Oh, that
always makes me think of the circus. Every single time.
Buster Booster.
B-A-B.
Today we have Buster Booster. If Marshall's listened in for this long, he might be writing another letter to us.
Yeah.
Guys, lay off the,
I'm going to invoke the copyright of my voice on the podcast because you blatantly ripped off
an idea
from my podcast.
Yeah.
And you just spoke about dicks and salty taste in your mouth for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, so. We have jacked off all over this booster before I open it, though, which is something that limited resources guys don't do, as far as I know.
Booster smell. Yeah. He's going to hate
us. Sorry.
Oh, we are really crass. Oh,
look, this
terrible.
Is kind of, look, if you want down-to-earth proper education on your magic cards...
Limited resources
every time. Marshall knows this sort of stuff inside and out, and whoever's going to be replacing him.
Oh, yeah, Brian. Oh, yeah, Brian's so gone. Sad. Yeah. I really, really like Brian actually.
Brian. The Brinoceros.
Brinoceros.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah.
That was my favorite one.
Yeah, that's classic. See, Marshall came up with that.
No, I think listener came up with that.
Who did?
A listener came up with that.
Oh, really?
He's like, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Brian was like, whoa.
I'm having that.
That's really good. He's like, I took it from a listener.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, if you want quality, you go to limited resources. If you want knob jokes, you're home.
And knob jokes interspersed with us randomly laughing about magic topics.
Yeah. And on the off fortnight, you get a bit of board game magic. You get a bit of not magic.
Get a bit of serious gamer talk.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Tune in to last episode for a bit of gamer girl talk, which we learnt was a bad term.
Gamer girls. Gamer bad girl. Term.
Doesn't like that for Maddie, but you know she's grumpy. She hates pretty much everyone. So
I like that. No spoilers, but like next episode, I think we're going to have a bit of a
turnaround. Yeah, we'll get into that in neats and twos later on
for sure.
Anyway, I've jacked off of this booster. Might as well open it.
bust it all open.
Hey.
Please keep that wrapper away from me.
You know when I you know if I play sealed,
that's what Rihanna said.
If I play sealed, it's really hard. You know, I've got to jack off over six of them.
Oh, no. It's difficult to like...
Let's get tired. Whoa. Starting. All right. We're going to open
you have to do it really quickly or deck registration's over and you're pooped.
I almost pooped myself at the Grand Prix. Did I tell you that story?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Go on, you tell us it. What happened?
So I was registering my seal pool and we'd had a bit of alcohol and stuff the previous night. And you know how you got to have that big dump the morning after. We got to the tournament site really early, 9:30. We're like registering our decks and stuff. I was like, I probably need a poop now. By the time I'd finished registering my deck, the judge had checked the thing. I had to go find a toilet that wasn't full. It was like half an hour after I'd finished registering my deck, and I almost pooped myself. So at the Grand Prix, that would have been a horrendous start to the day.
I feel like there was one important sentence of that entire story. I almost pooped myself at a Grand Prix.
Yeah, That was the whole story.
Headlining.
I wanted to see how it came about.
Yeah.
You know, did you miss any actual playing time?
No, I didn't. I found a...
You've got very limber bowels. Yeah. You got rid of it real quick.
Yeah, it was out of me in a flash.
Fantastic. Oh, maybe Flash. We can find a few Flash cards. I don't know if there are.
Dragon Grip.
All right, so we've opened tons
Dragon
of,
Speaker.
Tons of car, ta, ta,
tons
ca,
of tons of scolding tons of Zendikar.
Tons of Kartia.
Yeah.
Is about little lakes that are up on the side of mountains in the place of Kartia. All right, the first card we have today is Madhu War Shrikar. Now, you guys have been playing with these cards for a fair few weeks now. You know them inside and out.
So Madhu War Shrikar, 3 and a red. For a 3-3, when it enters the battlefield, raid. If you're attacked with a creature this turn, add red, white, black to your mana pool.
Hill Giants.
Yeah.
Hill Giants that give you morph.
Yeah, rock solid guy. My favorite thing to do with this is attack with a creature, maybe a morph that you've already played or an aggressive creature because you're in Madhu.
Yeah.
And you play him, you get the raid trigger, and you use it to cast another morph. And the fact that you're just casting two spells in a turn... While your opponent can only be casting one, especially in an aggressive deck like red, white, black, is just a huge tempo swing. A lot of pros have said this is the best red common.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a pretty good, solid card.
Do you like it, Ken?
I would feel good about first picking this. It goes in all of the red decks, so Jeskai, Teemer, and Madhu, because...
I haven't played it in Teemer yet. I've played it in Jeskai because it fixes your white and your red, but the...
So like, Jeskai is red, white, and blue. Mm-hmm. Madhu, red, white, and black. What's the...
Teemer is red, blue, green. So you can only really use the mana to cast either a red spell or a morph.
Yeah.
Because you can't cast your red, blue, green spells. That's
morphs always three colors.
It can also just, you know, only cost one mana to, like, one red mana to cast a 3-3, basically.
Yeah.
Like, nothing
later
wrong.
Later on in the game.
Yeah, being able to cast, like, a 4-drop and a 5-drop in the same turn.
All right, we've got a bit of control coming up with Erase for one white. It's an instant exile target enchantment.
Mm-hmm. This is more of a standard plant. There's not that many enchantments in the set at all. There's Singing Bell Strike, Suspension Field.
I don't
think Dragon I've Grip. Sideboarded. I've never sideboarded it.
I was tempted like once.
Yeah. I would need to see multiple suspension fields and
maybe an ascendancy.
An ascendancy or something that's
coming out of Theros, it feels like it's going to be a card, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Cool, I can get rid of all its enchantments, but then if it's...
Seeing playing standard and modern already, but not for draft, like
that
it's
card
not,
in sure. Theros would have been bananas.
That would have been way too good.
Yeah. Moving on. One white, Exile Target enchantment, for sure. All right, the third card is Tagum's Scheming, or Tejam's Scheming. Tygam's Scheming. It's one and a blue for a sorcery. Look at the top five cards of your library. Put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest back on top of your library in any order.
This is a little bit of an issue because as a blue card doesn't replace itself, you don't actually draw any cards. All you're doing is filtering cards away for your future delve spells and you're setting up your next few draws. I used it in a very delve-heavy Sultai deck, so I had five or six delve spells. Played this on turn 2, turn 3 I played a 2-drop and I played Hooting Mandrills, which is...
Hoot, hoot!
Because you're just going to get 5.
So what I did was I kept one card on the top, dumped 4 that I didn't need into my graveyard, plus the Tygam Scheming. You got 5 cards in your graveyard on turn 2. Turn 3 I played a Delve spell for 1 mana and a 2-drop. Like, it's just huge in those decks, but in other decks I just don't go anywhere near it.
Situational? Is it only an early game?
Yeah.
Early game advantage?
Later on it means you just dump a bunch of lands on the bottom into your graveyard that you can delve with. So.
It's a card that can have an incredibly high ceiling if you're a good player, because you can just set up your next, like, potentially 5 turns.
Yeah.
But it's very unlikely that you're keeping all 5 on top and then you're kind of stuck with that plan if you've got no other way of doing it. So, yeah, not high. It only goes in one deck for me.
All right. Barrage of Boulders, 2 and a mountain for a sorcery. Barrage of Boulders deals 1 damage to each creature you don't control. It's got Ferocious. If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, creatures can't block this turn.
This card's sweet, but... It's
sideboard
huge.
Material for me.
Yeah.
How many one damage creatures?
Heaps of one toughness creatures. And all the
against the Mardu decks, you can get them.
Yeah.
Against the Mardu and the Black White Soldiers decks, you can...
Oh, they play the things that make 1/1 warrior tokens. Yeah. Yeah.
So is it more of a tempo outburst. Play? It's more of a tempo play if you've got for 4 or greater power guy out there.
This card basically reads Falter in that, like, creatures your opponent's control can't block.
Yeah.
Like, that's the important part of this card.
That's the only reason that I would put it in my deck. Like, you're not going to be sweeping a heap of 1/1s off the table because everyone's just playing morphs.
Mm-hmm. If I saw, like, 2 Hoardling Outbursts game 1, I'd probably board it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then I like sideboarding it in the really grindy matchups where you both have 6-7 creatures on the board. Both of you, as soon as you get a break, you'll kill the other person as soon as you attack them. One of your creatures is going to have 4 or more toughness. You just cast this off the top of your deck and you just kill them in one shot.
Yep.
But it's only in the really grindy standoff.
Okay, so Mardu Warshrew is still leading the game.
Yeah.
Woolly Loxodon for 5/2 forests. He's a creature. He's an elephant warrior. God, I've got so many of those living in my neighborhood. I tell you, it's elephant warriors. They're trouble. They play rock music late at night. Anyway, morph for it's got a morph ability to it. Morph for 5 and a forest. He's a 6/7.
Yeah, so you can
just a big hunk of.
This is just a big hunk of meat.
Of elephant, yeah.
Elephant. This is one of the morphs that's the hardest to deal with. I was telling someone a story today about how my opponent wasn't attacking with a morph creature. As soon as he played a 6 land, he's like, bam, get in there with this morph creature. I was like, oh, shit, it's that Woolly Loxodon.
Because
a 6/7 in this format is massive.
Right.
It's really difficult to kill, and I had to, like, block it with 4 creatures.
Really?
And when he flipped it up, he only killed 2 of mine, but I got a 6/7
off the board.
It was a Woolly Loxodon.
Right.
There's not a lot of stuff that unmorphs for 6 mana, and so me realizing that he wasn't attacking with it when he had 5, as soon as he plays 6 land, he gets in there with it. I was like,
sure,
that is suspicious. He's and really that one is really difficult to deal with if you're not prepared for it.
Yep.
That's why we got Kian on board.
He's underneath Mardu Warshrieker, but I like having
I would be picking him above Barrage of Boulders, but we definitely have our first pick at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Krumar Bondkin, 3/2 swamps for a creature who's an orc warrior who's got a very very tiny head. And he's 5'3". Oh, it's Kev Walker. Kev, oh, so every now and again, he's got the magic in the pitcher. Mm. They just, I don't know, doesn't... It's
you just don't?
Just always disappointed with Kev.
Really?
Every single release, oh. He does a card, and I'm just like, the, oh, man.
So the Friday Night Magic promos have been increasing in how awesome they are. There was,
oh,
like,
really?
Banishing...
Slash awful.
Like, wait, there was Dissolve, right. Banishing Light, Brain Maggot. December is Stoke the Flames with this awesome brand new artwork. Yeah. They just revealed January's one. It's like some shitty goblin from M15 with brand new Kev Walker artwork, and it's just, aww, like the goblin like, hey!
How's everything going?
Hey,
boys,
how you doing?
Want to do some farming?
Yeah, that's actually what it looks like. He's just carrying like a broken sword in his hand. It doesn't even look
to
like
be fair. He is dual wielding.
He's, oh yeah, but you know,
dual wielding.
He's carrying two weapons at the same time.
Are they both broken?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think so.
So, Krimar Bonkin, 3/2 swamps for an orc warrior creature who's a 5/3. He can morph up for 4 and a swamp.
This card is unexciting, but
but playable.
Yeah.
It's just fine. Yeah. I really like how all the morphs don't require you to pay their mana cost, like when you flip them up. This one I haven't ever played as a 5-drop. I've morphed him up for 4 and a black.
Is 5 for a 5/3 acceptable in this set?
It's not great.
No, it's not fantastic. 3 toughness still.
Yeah. 3, like, I would actually rather he was a 3/5. Like, if he was a 3/5, yeah, I'd probably play him quite a bit. But, like, as a 5/3, he just trades down with everything. You know, there's a lot of... There's a lot of even 3-drops and 2-drops that he can trade with. Like,
the Mardu Warshriek is going to trade with him.
Yeah,
exactly. There are a lot of 3-power creatures. Like, I think he's worse than the Woolly Loxodon because he just gets blocked by everything. But
yeah.
I'm not sure if I like the 3/5 better than a 5/3 because, like, if they do let it through because they can't afford to throw one of their blockers in the way, you are hitting him for 5. Like,
yeah, true.
I like it better than stupid Canyon Lurkers, the 5/2.
But that does
4?
Flip up for 4, which is,
oh,
like,
that's
that,
true.
That
yeah,
is
yeah,
a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I know, you know, I'm no expert, but I like the more defensive hand. You know, like yeah, what Kian was saying, you're someone who's got high toughness,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, yeah, he's going to survive a little bit.
There's a white morph that flips up and is a 3/6, and people generally can't get through it. It's huge.
So what you're saying, Dave, is
yes,
you like big butts, and you cannot lie.
Did I say that?
Yeah, yes. That's what you
pretty
implied.
Much was I implying?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Creatures with high toughness got a big booty.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's
it. It can absorb lots of damage.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Took it too far.
All right, long shot squad. Oh, man.
That's a bit of a long shot.
Couple of rats with some bows. It's 3 and... oh, no, he's a hound. 3 and a forest for a creature
who's a
hound archer who looks like a rat.
They're kangaroos.
Kangaroo Archer. It's yeah, a 3/3.
You're from Australia,
nah,
mate.
Here we go. It's the Australian podcast.
It's
Seven
a long
Land
shot.
Hand squad. Hey, look at this. It's a roo in a hole. Fucking hell. He's got some tinnies.
When Ice Cream Social were like, did they say they're Australian? They're saying no, English.
Yeah.
Good God, man. Good God. There's a hound in
long
the
shot squad.
There's a hound in the ground and he's... pounding
the mound.
The mound.
We must give him a cup of tea.
Long shot squad. 3 in a forest for a creature hound archer. He's a 3/3, and he's got Outlast, which is for 1 in a forest. Each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has reach.
Yeah,
that's his thing.
This guy is just fine.
He looks pretty cool.
Yeah, 3/3s for 4, good. You level him up once, he's a 4/4 with reach, so he becomes a like a spider-esque kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've tricked so many people with... you play this guy after leveling up your disowned ancestor or something, which is the 0/4 in black. So that's a 2/6. You don't attack with it, and they just like... automatically attack with their flying creature because they're like, oh yeah, cool, nothing's changed. But this guy doesn't need a counter on himself to give your other creatures with +1/+1 counters reach. And so
oh,
I'm just like,
okay,
block your guy. And they're like, oh! It's happened to me like 3 or 4 times now where people don't immediately recognize that it affects
yeah,
the board. So I like tricking people with that kind of stuff. Well, not even tricking people. People just attack into my reach creatures.
Yeah.
This card is solid, but yeah. I don't think it's better than the Mardu War
Shrieker. It's not better than War Shrieker, yeah.
It's same cost for same power and toughness. Mm-hmm.
The War Shrieker has a lot...
It can get bigger.
Yeah.
The War Shrieker has more flexibility in that, like, it plays a key role in different decks. So with your first pick, you want to make sure you're staying as open as possible.
Yeah, I feel like I'd never first pick Longshot Squad because it's only better than War Shrieker as the long game, the game goes because it gets massive. But what if you don't end up in a long game deck? What if you end up in a more aggressive green deck?
Or like you just don't have any other stuff that puts 1/1 counters on stuff.
Yeah,
like,
because the ability is one of the reasons that you want it in your deck. So yeah.
But if you're picking it, you can aim for that throughout the rest of the draft.
Yeah, you
the
can.
Raid feature you use once when it enters the battlefield if you attack.
Mm-hmm.
So that's situational to a certain extent.
Yeah, like
Longshot Squad, just bang. You know, 2 mana on any time.
It's always going to do what you want it to do. Yeah, yeah. I guess that's a reason to, like, it comes down to personal preference. This is a really good thing about this draft format is that you can do what you like. If you want to first pick,
would you say you can express your personality?
Express your personality through how you make your deck
of game playing in Magic.
You could say something like that along those lines.
Yeah, if you're writing a magazine article.
If you really like the long game Abzan decks, first pick Longshot Squad over War Shrieker, I could see that for sure.
So maybe they're telling us something in Longshot Squad. It's not about how far they can fire long game.
Squad.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's how you can remember that one. So who's.
Put them up with War Shrieker. Yeah. I have a preference for the aggressive decks because I like rolling people that don't play their third land.
Yeah.
So that's pretty great.
I like Longshot Squad because I like the art a little bit better.
Kangaroos.
You're welcome, Wesley Burt.
To be fair, I'm still hoping we get something way better. Like,
me too.
Neither of these first picks excite me.
I would be unhappy with War Shrieker.
Guys, we still are in the commons.
Yeah. I see that you put Buster Booster in its own section because we talk so fucking long about it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the kids love Buster Booster.
I love Buster Booster.
I love it. This is where I learn the most.
Mm-hmm. I get a small thrill watching other people watch booster packs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got a land. Swift Waterfalls.
It's the blue red.
Swift Waterfalls end of the battlefield tapped. When Swiftwater Cliffs enters the battlefield tapped. When Swiftwater Cliffs enters the battlefield, you gain 1 life.
Cool.
It's a big hole in a rock with a flag on top.
Need them. They're sweet.
Is that Adam
You're
Paquette?
Never first picking
him. Is another cat?
Adam Paquette.
No, it's Aiton Zana. Oh,
Adam okay. Phuket.
Adam Paquette. Australian artist. He's not Phuket. It's P-A-Q Phuket. You don't like him?
No, I thought it was always Phuket.
No, it's... Phuket is the place in Thailand.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Adam Paquette is P-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E or something.
Spelling here on Summerland.
Swiftwater Cliffs is a higher pick for me because I've been enjoying the 5-color Do What You Like deck.
I've heard some stories about your 5-color Do Everything.
Oh, man, that's a funny story. I'll tell that one later.
Yeah, no, go for it now.
So I was like, I watched Marshall from Limited Resources draw 5-color good stuff on his latest... draft video,
right?
Where you spend the first pack taking only the most powerful cards and then land, and then after the first pack you've got every land in all sorts of different colors, and pack 2 and 3 just pick anything.
So run that by me again.
So pack 1, you pick whatever the rare is, or a tricolor land, and you can force this.
Yeah.
So in pack 1, you take all the 3-color lands that get passed to you. You take all the dual lands that get passed to you.
So you build your mana base first.
I ended pack 1 with 7 dual lands.
Right.
Across all different colors.
Yeah.
And then when you open pack 2, you can play any rare that you open.
Yeah, sure.
So I open Siege Rhino. I was like,
I can get a shit rare.
I can play Siege Rhino. You can get a shit rare, but then you take whatever uncommon. But then, say the person that's passing to you...
Yeah.
Isn't playing Jeskai. They passed me a Mantis Rider. I was like, I can play that as well.
Yeah.
And then I got passed another Abzan rare later.
Siege Rhino.
I got a Siege Rhino, a Mantis Rider, like a whole bunch, like 5 rares in pack 2 and 3. And I could play every single one of them because I just spent pack 1 just taking lands.
Yeah.
And against Ash, you just mulligan until you have like... all the colors you need, and then everything you draw off the top of your deck is insane. So it's just like removal spell, Mantis Rider, Siege Rhino, like the turn right after, And I beat Ash by turn 8, playing Mantis Rider and Siege Rhino on the same turn. So that's blue, white, red, one black, white, green, and a tapped land. And he was like, what the hell?
So this is the thing people are starting to do? Because you'd pick up on it pretty early, wouldn't you? Because you'd get none of the dual-coloured lands.
And everyone at the table was like, I'm not picking up any fixing. I was like... get in my pool. So I ended the draft with 9, maybe 10 mana fixes.
Get in the pool with Aaron.
Yeah, get in the pool with me. Yeah. Draft 5 colors.
It's one of those things that this draft format can support one 5 color person on a table. If 2 people try and draft it, both their decks just fall apart and it doesn't work and they end up playing 3 color or 2 color or whatever. Yeah. Mm. But if there is only one person and he gets all the fixing and he gets a couple of rares, the deck is ridiculous.
Relax won the Pro Tour. He went 6-0 in drafts by doing 5 color because he didn't think that people would be doing it because it's kind of daunting. Like,
also risky.
It's risky, It's settling yourself into that in pack 1, but he saw that the mana fixing was coming, so he just went deep in it.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's talk about people being 5 color, because last time we found out that you were Chinese and English, Kian went on a racist spray, which upset many listeners. All right. And you might have needed this card. Throttle for 4 in the swamp. It's an instant. Target creature gets -4/-4 until end of turn. Boom, take that.
Boom, lash of the whip.
Yeah. That's got to be a high pick, hasn't it? Removal, bang.
It's expensive, situational. In Theros, we had to play Throttle because there was no other removal spells that cost less than like 6 mana.
Sibber Hemlock.
In this one, there's Murderous Cut.
There's cheaper versions.
Bring Low. There's just cheaper, more efficient removal. This is less than those cards. I'd say it's on the same level as Swiftwater Cliffs and the Woolly Locks of them.
Probably want one.
I cut Throttle from.
You're
going to
grab
decks.
It if you've got no removal and it's getting late in the day. All right.
Because it's one of those removal spells that's not just 3 damage to a creature. It actually shrinks the thing in combat as well. So the longer the game goes, you can actually shrink a. I shrunk some guy's. Surok Dragon Claw, when he attacked me with it, he's like, bam, 6/6. I was like, no, I'll make it a 2/2, block it with my 2/3. And it died.
And it's it's 5, and you're not necessarily going to take someone off the... it's not actually removal.
No,
you're not going to take someone... Like, the Woolly Locks it on a laugh in your face.
Yeah, it's conditional removal.
Yeah.
And,
So what are you looking at for a cost of removal in this format?
You've got stuff that's cheaper.
Yeah.
There's 3 in a red for... removal spell on Bring Low, which is 3 in a red instant, 3 damage to a creature. If it has a +1/+1 counter on it, deal 5 damage to it instead. And so you can kill their outlast guys when they outlast. You can deal 3 damage to one of their morphs before they flip it up.
So it changes along with the outlast cards itself in a way.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite removal spell in the set is Aristorm. Just because it has the flexibility of hitting the player as well.
Yeah. So Aristorm's 3 red, 4 damage to target creature or player. It's a sorcery, though. But Raid, if you attack with a creature this turn, it deals 5 damage instead.
Okay.
So it's 5 damage to a creature or player, or lava... 5 damage to a creature, which is awesome, or Lava Axe to their face. So, like, you hit them for the last 5 damage.
Yeah, okay, Scout the Borders. 2 and a green... For a sorcery, reveal the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a creature or land card from among them into your hand. Put the rest into your graveyard.
There are a lot of spells in this pack.
Yeah, not a lot of creatures at all.
So this is another card for your Delve packs?
Yeah, another card for your Delve. I was playing 1 or 2 copies of this in my 5-color deck because you need something to play on 3 when you're not playing a Morph. And later on in the game, it fuels your Delve spells and can fix your mana by getting a land out of the top 5.
Yep. Is it a powerful card to have?
You'll pick them up late.
It only goes in the slower decks. You don't put it in a majority of
decks. Sure. All right, so the first uncommon is Mistfire Weaver for 3 and an island.
This guy's badass.
Creature. He's a Dijin Wizard. He's 3/1. He's got flying.
Oh,
so
this guy.
3/1 flyer for 4 mana. That sounds shitty.
That's fine.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's,
fine.
Okay. It's good.
I suppose 3 in the air is pretty
3
good
power
to hit.
In the air
you've got evasion there, so that's going to work.
The average draft game goes like turn 12, turn 13, and like unanswered, this guy will win before that.
Barrage of Boulders, goodbye.
Yeah, but like people aren't playing Barrage of Boulders because there's not a lot of ground guys to sweep up. A majority of the flying creatures have one toughness, so it's actually... Does Barrage of Boulders hit everything?
Yeah. Like not even... though they're throwing rocks down the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Barrage of Boulders from a mountain that's higher than where anything. The birds are flying.
That's it. That's what it is. Anyway, there's more to the Djinn Wizard, Mr. Fireweaver. He's a morph card. You can morph him up for two in an island.
Mm-hmm.
When Mr. Fireweaver is turned face up, target creature you control gains hexproof until end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love hexproof.
Yeah.
This ability is so good. Yeah. I have gotten so many removal spells with this card. You just put your opponent in so many awkward situations because they just can't do anything. And it's amazing.
Hexproof actually comes to some sort of use this.
So the situation I've been in with this card.
I was being sarcastic earlier on when I said about
hexproof is good.
Hexproof, yeah, no. Before I was no, but we always frown upon hexproof as a thing that you get, don't we? It's like it's a pretty shitty kind of evasion.
Generally, because like hexproof creatures are very safe. Like they're 1/1s for one or 2/2s for two. This is a creature which doesn't have hexproof, so they could push it a little bit. Because if it was just a 4-mana 3/1 with hexproof, it would probably be too
really,
good.
Really, really strong.
But because it only gets hexproof for a turn, it has blowout potential, and it's really good.
Yeah, so the situation I've been in with this is that you're on the play, you play this as your morph, you don't flip it up for a little while. You play some creature that they have to deal with in a few turns or they die, some big evasive creature or like a trampler or something. Suddenly, you're in combat, you attack with a bunch of creatures, your big 5/5 with trample or whatever. They're like, yeah, cool. Throttle it and then block before blocks or after they block or whatever. And then you flip up your guy and give it hexproof. And suddenly you're attacking them for 3 in the air. You've just given your huge... You've given your huge guy hexproof. And it's a massive kind of... I don't want to say tempo because I'm worried that I'm using it incorrectly because everyone's saying tempo nowadays.
Yeah.
But it is a huge tempo swing when they expected to kill your guy and then instead you're hitting them for an extra 3 flying. You've given your guy protection and you got a removal spell out of their hand. Like it's...
That's close to the best case scenario because you've just eaten a creature, countered a spell, and dealt an extra damage.
Yeah.
But
so your mana outgoing versus their mana outgoing has swung your way in that
and
sense.
And you have a 3/1 flyer on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like this guy a lot.
First picking
this one?
Yeah, I think it's the most powerful one so far.
Yeah, right. It's good in Jeskai, good in Sultai, good in Teemo.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, here's something that might change your mind. I don't know. How charm? The charm's playing
ooh,
out. The
depends.
Teemo charm.
Oh, I was about to say, not Teemo charm.
This one is...
Forest, island, and mountain, and your choices are... So it's an instant.
Yep.
And you can choose one of target creature you control gets +1/+1 till the end of turn. It fights target creature you don't control. So, yeah, the little prey upon thing, yeah. Counter target spell unless its controller pays 3.
Sure.
And creatures with power 3 or less can't block this turn.
So
it's a
Falter.
It's a green one, it's a blue one, it's a red one.
Yeah.
So it's Falter, as we've already discussed, Barrage of Boulders, is sideboardable. Like, it's not great, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got a fight effect, which, again,
is pseudo-removal.
It's pseudo-removal, it opens you up to a 2-for-1 if they removal spell your guy, mm-hmm. and like you have to already be on the board with a bigger guy than them. So if you have a 4-4 and they have a Woolly Loxodon, have fun.
Yeah, bad luck.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do? The problem with this card is, from limited resources again, they're quadrant theory, whether this card is good when you're winning, good when you're losing, good when you're at parity, good when you're behind or ahead. This one is... It's the worst thing. Let me preface this with: I'm never cutting this from a teamer deck or a deck that can reliably cast it.
Yeah, but this card is a charm. It's
good.
It's three cards.
It's good because
cool.
It's so versatile. Yeah, it's 3 cards in one. But
it's not going to get you back in the game.
It's never going to get you back in the game. All the other ones can draw you some cards. Sultai Charm is draw 2, discard 1. Abzan Charm is draw 2, lose 2 life. All of these ones have potential if you top deck them and you have nothing on the board or you're behind. This one doesn't help you at all. You counter one of their spells, but they were already ahead of you. You fight one of their creatures, but your creature already needs to be bigger than theirs. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I get the feeling that one of the modes was something different, and it was way too good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So right. they fixed it up. But
so where are we putting that?
It's worse than Misfire Weaver, and you don't want to first pick a card that puts you in teamer.
This is a card that you get rewarded for being the teamer guy. So you get it like 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, pack 2 or whatever, because no one on your side of the table is teamer, and that's sweet. Yeah. You know, that's one of the reasons why the clans are good, and it's one of the reasons why committing at some point in pack 1 is good, because, you know, these charms, these powerful commons that are 3 color can actually table, because no one else wants them because they're difficult to cast except for Aaron Graham 5 color shenanigans bullshit.
Sure. So we talk about the 5 color thing. Is anyone playing the monocolor or just like the dual color stuff?
Yeah, I've heard whispers of the 1 and 2 color decks, which are generally white black warriors, which is a thing that they seeded in for draft and sealed and stuff.
2 colors is, If you asked any pro player or any good player what deck they could have after a draft, like if you can go through and choose, you shouldn't, because obviously that's not how draft works, but if they could pick, they would always pick 2 colors.
No, that's not what I heard.
Really?
Yeah, this is one of those draft formats that is splits pros down the middle. Frank Carsten's the Channel Fireball writer that always does a comprehensive pick list for first pick 1, pack 1, and draft. This is the best card in the set. This is the second best card in the set. In this one, it's really difficult to evaluate everything because it's multicolored, so you don't know whether to commit that early. So he's got all the monocolored cards first, then the best multicolored cards, then the less powerful monocolored cards, then the less powerful multicolored cards. And he's like, I think that the best deck is 2-color aggro. And then all the other pros are like, no, 5-color. Like, we forced 5-color at the Pro Tour and went 6-0 for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's like splitting them. They're like, no, 2-color is best. No, 5-color is best. And that's a sign of a good draft format. If people can't decide what the best thing is, you can do
like
whatever
said,
you want.
You keep saying you force the 5-color thing.
Yeah.
Like Ian was saying, two people sitting at the table, both going, I'm going to force the 5-color thing. Mm-hmm. They're both screwed.
Yeah, the worst is when you're at seat 1 and seat 4 or 5, where
you don't get the initial feedback that's going
down.
So
if you're sitting right next to someone and you're taking all the dual lands, they can't go 5 color because you're taking the dual lands, even if they're 2 seats down from you. But if they're 4 seats down from you, there's enough dual lands that they can pick them up.
Yeah, there's a bit of a buffer. You're not going to get a sniff that's going on
until too late. The thing about this set, and one of the things that I think makes the 5 color deck very viable, is the fact that if 2 people draft it, they're not both screwed. Like, their decks aren't bad. Yeah. Whereas in previous formats, when you've had to commit to the quote-unquote janky deck or the quote-unquote this only works if I get lucky, you know, if you committed to it, you then just ended up with a deck that didn't work. But if you draft this 5-color deck, you still get all these absurdly powerful cards. Mm. You just have to say, I can't play all of them, so now I'm a 3-color deck.
You end up playing 3-color, splash a 4th-color, or something a little less...
You've convinced me, guys. I'm going to play no color. I'm going to go just artifacts.
Just mono artifacts.
Yeah, mono
artifacts. Banner.
I mean, if I can first pick Ghostfire Blade and mono morphs for the rest of the draft, I'm fine with that. That
speaking
card is good.
Speaking of which, Witness of the Ages. He's a 6...
Oh,
colorless.
Oh, no.
You know, he's I've just decided this is the guy's top of my list. Witness of the Ages, 6 colorless for a 4/4. That is all.
His morph ability is
he's
okay.
A golem. He's fucking huge. He's bigger than a mountain. He's morphing for 5. So you're only getting 1 ahead, then straight up casting him for 6.
Yeah.
He's just a big lump.
It's not good.
I've done. There's so many. There's morphs in every color. There's morphs in all rarities. You're going to pick up a better morph than this every day. Like, unless you really need something to flip up at 5, or maybe cast it. I never want to cast this at 6. It's just like.
But there's a thing of, you know, at least if this is the only morph that you've got, you can throw it out there. Maybe you get lucky and they waste some removal on it.
I only just thought of this as like, when you cast it, it's just double morph. So you're paying 3 colors for a 2/2, or you're paying 6 colors for a 4/4. It's just doubly as big and doubly as expensive.
Ah, yeah.
Double morph. That's what it should have been called. The picture should have just been a morph on top of a morph.
It's just plain and vanilla. It's just boring. That's okay, but, you know, it's not exciting, so you're not going to play it. Like, you will play it in some decks because it's just a big dumb dude. And
it was the last guy that you got.
Exactly. Yeah. 22nd card, 23rd card.
Yeah.
But this, just as a general thing, this set is so powerful, I'm usually ending up with 26, 27 playables, and it's difficult to find the 5 cards to cut.
Oh, wow.
And that's the first one out for me. Like, stupid Guardian of the Ages.
Okay, I'll sneak the next one out. What have we got? It's Raymond Swanland.
Trail of Mystery.
My favorite artist. What color is Trail of Mystery?
Green.
And?
One in a green.
Oh, no. It's a 6/6 rare.
Syrup?
It's Sagu Mola.
Oh, my God.
This card is obscene.
Yeah. This card is...
How do you say the Sagu? Sagu?
I've been saying Sagu.
Is this actually just the Sagu best Mola. Multicolored
this
card?
This is one of the best multicolored cards in the set.
What's better than this?
Anyway, let's find out what he does. Sagu Mola, 4 and a forest and an island. He's a creature. He's a beast. He's 6/6, so 6/6 for a 6 with trample and hexproof. He's a morph card, and you can pay 3 and a forest and an island to turn him up.
Yeah, this card is nigh on unbeatable. When they flip it up on turn 5, you're like...
This is one of the cards that I've had to be like... I might just have to kill every morph they play if I see it in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if they flip it up, it's so hard to deal with. You can deal with it with a bunch of blocks. You can deal with it with, like, a Crackling Doom. But there's such specific situations, and you're generally losing out. Like, the best trade I've ever had with this card was a 3-for-1. Because I had to block with, like, a 3-2, a 2-2, and a...
Yeah.
4/4
and
or whatever.
And then there's tricks in blue and green.
Yeah.
Imagine if they force away your guy.
Yeah.
And they just travel over and kill. Oh, man. Card's huge. And I have no problem casting this for 6 mana.
I know.
6 like mana, trample, hexproof. What are you supposed to do about that?
6 for a 6/6. That's good. And then you get trample. And then you get hexproof.
Yeah.
And, like, there are more powerful multicolored cards in this set. But they are all 3 colors.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can look at Surak or Zogo Helm Smasher.
I think this is better than both of those cards.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Because it's 2 color has hexproof and trample. Like, you know, like...
I've played Surak a bunch and Surak himself doesn't fucking have trample. Yeah. It just annoys the shit out of me. Like, it's like, what? I need trample on my...
But hexproof is no good until he's hit the battlefield though, right?
Yeah.
So you can be counted still.
Yeah, he can be counted, yeah.
Most of the time though, they're not going to count your morph.
Exactly.
Like, I don't actually think I've ever seen this card cast. Like, I've played with it a bunch and I've played against it a bunch and I've never seen someone actually just tap 6 mana and slam it onto the table.
I've cast it. Twice, I think. I've done, like 20-ish drafts. So.
But, like, the majority of the time, you just flip it up.
Yeah.
So, we've taken Soggy Mauler.
Yeah, Soggy Sandwich
That's
Mauler.
That's cool. And then I can hope my Long Shot Squad comes around again.
Yeah, like, you can probably get it. You'll probably get the Teemer Charm on the wheel, honestly. Really don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this pack's okay. It's an interesting pack because, like, sometimes the packs have, like, 6 multicolor cards in them, and we have 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so anything controversial
I would say, me and Keen were just saying before, like, Sagu Mola, I think, is the best multicolored card in the set, and it goes in 2 different decks. It goes in
Is Sorin better?
No, I don't think so. No. Cause it can,
that's a no.
Yeah.
It's
a no. All right, well, that was Bust the Booster. And lots of anecdotes. We'll be back after this for a bit of flavor text. Nothing but games today.
Flavor text.
All right.
Kian, you didn't say flavor.
Because I was too eating it up.
Beans?
No.
Flavor text. All right.
I don't understand that joke.
What's going to happen in... What's the date today? 25th of October?
You don't want me to explain it. It's okay. So
six
sad.
6 days' time.
Oh, my God.
What is it in 6 days' time?
My birthday?
David's birthday.
No. Oh, it's like my second birthday. On the 31st of October...
It's Halloween.
Halloween theme.
All right, cool. All
right, you know the themes. Yeah. Now, here we go. That is the most destroyed island card. It's very sad. Okay.
The answer to all the questions is
Kian
Child of Night.
Kian has been fondling the island card from Buster Booster, and it's now in a bad way.
It's munted.
Okay, so the theme today is Halloween. And here we go with the first flavor text.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This one reads as follows. 2 legs by day, 4 legs by night, eyes raging in storm-gotten might. Ancient Northland riddle.
This just sounds like a werewolf from Dark Ascension, and I did not play that set.
2 legs by day, 4 legs by night, eyes raging in storm-gotten might. Ancient Northland riddle. Can we get? And Ken, you should, I'm not saying that you're even close or anything like that. I'm just reminding you that in the past you have said the name of the card out loud.
Ice Raging in Storm.
This sounds just like Sega Mauler.
But it's not Sega Mauler.
No,
it's,
it could be that.
It's Rock Badger.
Yeah.
Rock Badger.
All right.
Flip attacks.
Number two. The ritual of plucking out an eye to gain future sight is but a curse that enables the living to see their own deaths.
Aaron has 100% got this.
I don't know it. I don't know it at all.
Yeah, you really need to get one to beat me, man.
They're really going up on the Halloween horror with this one. The ritual of plucking out an eye to gain future sight is but a curse that enables the living to see their own deaths.
Yeah. Does it say that in the flavor text?
No, it doesn't. But
H-O-O-U-G-H.
If it was lyrics, they would so go into that. The ritual of plucking out an eye to gain future sight is but a curse. It's too long. That can enable the living to ain't no death.
Rage Against the Machine B-side. Like, can we not do that?
Yeah, no, it's too long.
Zach De La Rocha. No, yeah, please.
Zach, I was just playing some Magic and it said that exact same thing in this card, man. That's not original.
Oh, no.
It's not original, Zach.
It's not original, buddy.
No, it's not original. Yeah.
Okay. Somehow I think they'll be fine from copyright.
What, Rage Against the Machine?
Wizards of the Coast will probably just be like, oh, Rage Against the Machine just sampled one of our flavor texts.
I don't think they'd be cool with that. Do you think Wizards would listen to Rage?
No.
No.
No. What sort of music do Wizards listen
Dave
to?
Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
folky stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Just all banjos.
Mumford and Sons and shit.
And nylon string guitars in Wizards.
What kind of music would a badger play? Wizards listens to that.
If a tree falls in the forest.
Hey, it's the Rampaging Beaver Network. Badgers are all about metal. Yeah.
I think question three, please, Dave.
Okay. Flavor text number three. They killed my family to deny me a future. They fed on my ancestors to deny me a past. That was the voice of Krovax. They killed my family to deny me a future. They fed on my ancestors to deny me a past.
These feel like really creepy blue draw cards.
It's Halloween cards.
Like, this is how blue and black get together and draw cards. They just do really, really creepy things.
Are you going to play, Ken?
He doesn't know any of them. His page is just blank because he knows that he doesn't know what they are.
He's a stupid, stupid man today.
Hey, Aaron, how was your day?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to distract you so you get nothing.
Now, Kian's peaked in Bust Booster and now he's worn out.
Oh, man. Oh, fuck. I don't know. What was it again? One more time.
They killed my family to deny... Is it the voice that I'm doing that's putting you off?
No.
They killed my family to deny me a future. They fed on my ancestors to deny me a past. Krovax.
Fed on my ancestors to deny me a past.
This one I read is...
Vision.
This one's like a movie trailer thing.
Yeah.
They killed my family to deny me a future. They fed on my ancestors to deny me a past. Batman. Krovax. I'm Batman.
Krovax just...
I'm Batman.
I mean, Gotham is quite a good TV show.
Yeah.
There
you go. They killed my family.
They killed my family.
In crimes... Crime Alley. Well, no, it was Crime Something Alley.
In Crime Street.
Fuck, what's the name of that? Yeah, Crime Street. You gotta know. Hey, we're walking down Crime Street. This will be fine.
Hey, let's go out to Crime Street. Oh, no, there's crime.
What's the name of the street in Batman? Where
Crime Street.
Is it? It's not Crime Street. It's Crime Something Alley.
Crime Alley. Crime Crook. Crook Lane Alley.
I think it's like Grime Alley or something.
Parent Shot Road.
Oh my god.
Dead Dad Road.
Paternicide. Oh, I don't know. I'm making stuff up.
Can we now just find out how badly I'm losing?
Yeah. Let's just take the shortcut down to Paternicide Avenue.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Hellish life changing road. Pool of blood drive. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong down here.
We need a tangent bell.
Tangent bell.
Tangent bell. Flavor text number 10. This is flavor text number 10. This is the 10th episode of flavor text.
Yeah. Oh, right? Wow.
And I'm so happy that it's a Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go to Kian first. for his answer on two legs by day, four legs by night, eyes raging in storm-gotten might, in the ancient Northland riddle. It's not really much of a riddle. What have you got, Ken?
Is the answer Dave Wildsmith, I'm probably dead tonight?
There is no Dave Wildsmith.
Who's that? I don't know who that is.
No, I don't know that. Aaron, have you got anything more accurate?
Is the answer... Oh, no, I just realized what the flavor text for this one is. I'm going to go with Random Werewolf from Dark Ascension, like Kian helped me figure out. Mondronan Shaman.
It is not Mondronan Shaman.
Yes!
It is, in fact, Greater Werewolf. From Homelands and fifth edition.
It's like there were only like three werewolves in Magic before Innistrad and Dark Ascension, and I didn't choose one of them. Stupid.
You had such good odds, Aaron.
Such good odds.
Yeah, well, we'd already established it was a werewolf. All you had to do was add greater. Yeah. All right. Favorite text number two. The ritual of plucking out an eye to gain future sight is but a curse that enables the living to see their own deaths. What do you got, Ken?
Targum's Eye.
Targum's Eye.
That's not a... you're thinking of Ergolem's Eye.
That one.
Yeah.
Ergolem's Eye.
My guess is Witch's Eye.
Witch's Eye?
From Theros.
Theros. And the answer is Cyclopean Mummy.
What the fuck?
Is this like an alpha card?
From Legends and 4th edition. Cyclopean Mummy.
What does it do? It's like one and a black for a 2/2 and you have to like exile something?
Not bad. It's a one and a black for a 2/1.
Yeah.
If mummy is placed in the graveyard from play, remove it from the game.
It's just like, it's just a shit.
So it's a bad bear that exiles itself. Magic has come a long way.
Oh, I really wanted to rise from the grave my 2/1. Oh, it gets exiled when it dies.
No, mate. I need to go on a treasure cruise. And, you know, the mummy's like, get fucked.
No, how about no?
They hadn't really got the flavor happening here because it didn't really... You know, a mummy sort of dies and then comes back
then
to
comes
life.
Back,
That's a scary thing. This one just dies.
Or maybe you're just summoning the already come back mummy, and then when you kill it, it just turns to dust as opposed to turning into a mummy.
Oh, man. No, all is dust. Should have guessed that.
Anyway. right. They killed my family to deny me a future. They fed on my ancestors to deny me a past. I'd love to call this guy Grovax. It looks like Grovax.
Grovax. Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's it. Kian, what have you got here to take to
Grave
score?
Digger.
Grave Digger.
Grave Pact.
That's your answer?
Yep.
Grave Pact. The answer is Barrow Ghoul.
Where are we supposed to get this from?
What did you look up episodes?
Oh, they're old ones.
They're all old ones with shitty art.
That Greater Werewolf was disgusting.
I thought I'd get you just by telling you the theme was Halloween, and you just go Innistrad block.
Yeah,
and
you did.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that was
because that's
my
all I know.
Yeah, that's what I would be thinking.
I didn't know those ones. You got us, Dave.
Fantastic.
0 for 3.
Hey, yeah. Kian, you wrote nothing down, and you're still.
Yes!
And the same thing
joint,
as me.
You're in the joint lead.
This is why you don't ask your questions about your day during a game, Aaron. Yeah, jeez, get with it.
All right.
The reason I didn't get them was because Kim was distracting me.
That was Flavor Text. And right after this, we'll get back with some serious discussion on Modern. Alrighty, welcome back. We're going to talk about Modern. New format or something?
This is the newest format that Wizard of the Coast presented to us, and they've done some good work in the 2 and a bit years that it's been around to sculpt it. We used to have this thing called Extended, which was literally just double standard. It was the last 4 years of sets as opposed to the last 2 years of sets, and Extended got stale really quickly.
Yeah.
It was just the best standard decks from each era with some random extra cards from the other bits. Modern is the last 12 years of sets, starting from when they changed the card border in 8th edition. So it's 8th edition and Mirrodin up to where we currently are now. So it's a non-rotating format. Every card that's legal in Modern will be legal in Modern unless it gets banned. And there's an extensive banned list.
So all the cards are legal unless they become illegal.
Unless they become banned.
Wow, yeah.
But it's not like 8th edition of Mirrodin will rotate out when a new set comes out.
Yeah.
Modern's a really interesting format because they ban stuff in it a lot more often than they do in Standard or in Legacy. So it keeps a vibrant, interesting format where the most powerful decks are quite balanced between each other.
60-card deck.
All normal constructed
stuff. So why would we want to play Modern? Because what's the deal?
Standard is a very vibrant and fast format. You know, like, there can be a better deck in 2 weeks that just completely wrecks your deck. And, you know, like, a lot of people really enjoy that. But yeah, a lot of people also hate it. And Modern has this really nice midpoint because it's still impacted by all the new cards because, you know, the card pool isn't as big and ridiculous as Legacy. And, you know, but you still have this stability. Whereas, you know, like, I picked up a Modern deck about a year ago and I can still play it today. You know, I had to tune it here and there and pick up a few extra cards. But, like, the upkeep on the deck was, like, $50. Whereas if you had done that with Standard, the upkeep on a new Standard deck a year ago to today is about $500 or so to keep it relevant. And that's the appeal to a lot of people. And
I think people are going to be perturbed by how quickly and how volatile the new Standard changes.
Yeah.
Because we were stuck in a very stale Standard format for a while. Mono black, mono blue, control, blue white control all looked exactly the same for about a year. Now, every time a new set comes out, it's actually going to shake up the format in a way that you can't play the same decks that you were playing before. And so people were used to the Standard where stuff wouldn't change. You could play mono black for a year and a half if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So Modern is kind of like that staple format where you can build a deck, get really good at it, and it'll always be good with some slight changes here and there.
Yeah, and people really love the ability to just be able to learn a deck. You know, I know Paul Jackson is really excited because he's going to a Modern Pro Tour and he has like 6 months to prepare, which is really sweet.
Ah, yeah.
Because like with just
play the crap out of the same deck and nothing's going to really change.
Not much can possibly change. Like Khans of Tarkir was massive for Modern. But like we'll talk about how impactful it was later, but only by adding a very small amount of cards.
So what's the difference between Legacy and Modern?
So Legacy is... I'll start off talking about Vintage. We don't ever talk about Vintage on this. Yeah. Vintage is every card ever printed in Magic, but they've banned all of the cards that used to talk about Anti, which is where you can like actually take cards from your opponent after you beat them, which was in the original printing of Magic.
To keep.
Yeah, to keep.
Wow.
Yeah. like marbles. You would beat them in your duel because cards were worth 10 cents or whatever when they first came out. So you could Anti... At the beginning of the game, you shuffle your deck, cut it, Anti the top card of your deck face up on the side. That's what you're playing for.
All right. That Jace Mind Sculpt is no longer yours.
Yeah. Black Lotus would have been Antied in the first few years of Magic thousands of times. So they've gotten rid of all those cards because it's not part of the rules anymore. They've gotten rid of silly stuff that is like, play a sub-game of Magic. Whoever wins the sub-game loses half of their life total. Then return to the original game. Right. It's like, why the fuck did you make that card? Anyway, and then they've restricted all of the best cards to only one of. This is things like Black Lotus, Time Walk, all the Moxes, Time Twister. Ancestral Recall. They have a banned and restricted list.
Okay.
So restricted is cards you can only play one of, and these cards are worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Legacy is the same card pool, but with a lot more bannings, much more liberal bannings. All of the things that are restricted in Vintage are banned in Legacy. And Legacy is just a way to play with all the cards ever printed in Magic, but with a banned list that keeps the game fair.
And it's also a fair bit cheaper. You know, pretty much every Vintage deck that I've seen requires a Black Lotus if you ever want to play it in a tournament, which, you know, the cheapest Black Lotus you can get is like $1,000. And that's a very, very badly beat up one.
Beat up one.
Yeah.
So Legacy is 22 years of... Like, the way that I think of it is Legacy is 22 years of Magic cards. That's literally when they started printing them. And with a very strict ban list. Vintage is everything with a restricted list.
Mm-hmm.
And Modern is the last 10 to 12 years.
So Modern cards,
you're
more likely to get LTA to hold off. Because
They're cheaper. They all look the same. It's called Modern because they have the modern card frame.
Yeah.
As opposed to the old book-looking one.
Right.
So that's the difference.
Okay, so what are the best decks to play in Modern at the moment?
That's an interesting question.
Maybe you'll have some difference of opinion here.
So
this is one of the great things about Modern is that being able to say there's no best deck. Like, there are, like,
you
probably...
say standard, you're going to bang out two or three, and that's it.
Yeah, like, I would say...
But even in standard, you've got the top of the pile. Yeah. And even if there's no best deck one of, there's three or four decks that you no one can dispute are the best. But in modern, it's like seven,
I would say,
or
six or eight.
Six to eight different decks... All completely different lists.
Completely different styles as well.
All winning different tournaments. You have a modern tournament one week, you have a modern tournament the next week. Over a year, you're going to see up to 10 different archetypes.
Is there a capacity to homebrew your own and actually have a bit of an influence with it?
Yeah, so this is a funny story. The very first
modern...
We'll
be the judge of that.
I hope that this is a funny anecdote.
Taking notes, Mr. Graham.
The very first modern Pro Tour.
That's not funny.
That was the end of the story, so you got it.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Very first modern Pro Tour, people came with a bunch of mid-range decks. So there was a Doran colored, which is now Abzan, black, white, green, tree folk aggro. Right. Was the deck, was the breakout deck of the tournament.
Big green creatures?
So, green, white, black creatures that attack with their toughness instead of their power. Oh. That was the theme of the deck. Okay. It was very strange. It was like a control deck. You thought seize them, path to exile their stuff, and then hit them with a 5-5 for three. That was the breakout deck of that tournament. I think Paul Rietzel won it with white weenie, which is just unheard of in modern now. And this is because they came out with this banned list of all the cards that had been the best in standard. They banned Jace the Mind Sculptor, they banned Stoneforge Mystic, they banned Bitter Blossom, they banned all these things that they thought would be problems, and they're like, just go at it. So White Weenie won, Tree Folk was one of the breakout decks of the tournament, and they said, we want Modern to be a format where no one's comboing off on like turn two and just killing your opponent.
Right.
So with 7,000 to 8,000 cards, we don't want you to be able to win before like turn four with an infinite combo. Some people brewed together this weird infect deck that transmutes for a card called Blazing Shoal, which is discard a red card from your hand to give a creature plus X plus O, where X is that card's converted mana cost.
Right.
And what they would do is play Progenitus, which costs white, white, blue, blue, black, black, red, red, green, green.
So easy to
get it out of their deck, discard it, and put it on an infect creature and kill their opponent on turn two. and then as soon as this Pro Tour was done, they're like, we have to ban that card. And this card is a 20-cent rare from Champions of Kamigawa, but this Japanese team's like, whoa, they didn't realize that this thing was there, and it just destroyed this tournament. People just, like, kill you on turn two. Yeah. And they're like, ah, man. But it's just, like, that kind of stuff happens all the time in Modern, and there's still innovations now.
Yeah.
Like, every new set that comes out will bring a new infinite combo, and we'll talk about that in a minute as well.
Yeah, right. So we're still going to get down to name some of the archetypal
so we'll talk about what we're playing in Modern, I guess. Yeah. You can go.
So... what I'm playing at the moment, I have three different decks. I have Blue-Red Delver. This is a tempo aggressive deck that uses the best common ever printed Delver of Secrets.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's probably one of the cornerstone cards of the deck. It's essentially a one mana, 1/1. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. If it's an instant or sorcery, flip it, and it becomes a 3/2 with flying. So turn two, bashing for three is pretty sweet.
Mm. Yeah. You might know that. Did you see that one in Innistrad?
Don't look at me directly and ask me if I know cards.
That's your job.
But anyway, he's like the human insect in card form.
Right.
And all you do is play a deck that's full of burn spells, counter spells, card draw... and you play this guy on turn one and just hit them for three in the air starting from turn two.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
What else is in your build? Because I don't know what the Blue-Red Delver decks look like because every single one's different.
But you're using the word Delver. Is that the same context as Delving now?
Not Delve.
It's actually named after Delver of Secrets.
The card is
like
called Delver
card.
Of Secrets.
Right.
And then they introduced Delve in Karns again.
My version of the deck is just playing Snapcaster Mage, Young Pyromancer... Monastery of Swiftspear and Delver, and a bunch of burn, draw, / counter spells.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just a...
Tempo aggro deck.
Tempo, blue-red, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm also playing blue-white-red control, so Jeskai control or American control, whatever you want to call it, plays for Celestial Colonnade, which is a 4/4 flying manland,
which costs 5 to activate, so definitely not winning the game very quickly.
Yeah. Do you say man land?
Yeah.
It's a land that becomes a man.
Oh. Or
it's a creature land.
Right.
Or whatever you call it. What do you like?
Dude land.
Yeah.
Man land, yeah.
No, no, but no. I want to go Mutavolt, hang out.
Mutavolt was one of the first man lands to really break into tournament play.
Ah.
Yeah.
And then they brought these.
You learn something every day.
Yeah.
Man land. Man land. So, like, all the guys at the gym would be going, I know what they are, but I want them.
Man land.
I want some alpha man land.
It's a man land.
Yeah. Want some man lands from alpha. That sounds like me, man. Yeah.
Men's land.
Pass me that dumbbell.
It's a men. It's men's land. Men,
gentleman's land.
Gentleman's land.
What is that? 0-1? Just yeah. Pats you on the head.
Yeah.
And gives you a cup of tea.
Oh. So you're playing the big control deck in Modern, which is blue, white, red. It's got a lot of burn spells to clear your opponent's creatures away. It's got some card draw. It's playing Sphinx's Revelation, I'm pretty sure, still.
Yeah, I haven't touched the deck in a couple of weeks, and two big blue spells, which we'll talk about in a minute, just came in with Khans of Tarkir,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't tinkered with them yet, so I'm not sure if they belong in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why I've been focusing on my other decks, is because this deck is incredibly hard to build, and, you know, I'm basically waiting till the pros figure it out.
Yeah. So the deck that I'm playing in Modern is... So the decks still fall under the main archetypes, which are aggro, mid-range, control, combo, and tempo. Combo decks don't generally exist in Standard, so in Modern, there are actual combo decks. You can make an infinite combo and kill your opponent on turn 4 pretty easily.
And the
one that I'm playing can combo off earlier, but it's really unlikely. It's called Birthing Pod. What you do is you make a deck that's built around a bunch of creatures that have enters the battlefield effects, which in a combination of having three of them out either give you infinite life or deal infinite damage. And you have an artifact called Birthing Pod, which you try and get out as soon as possible. You sacrifice a creature to the artifact, and you get a creature that costs exactly one more than it from your deck and put it into play. But what you do is that you get creatures with Undying, Persist, that you can sacrifice to the Birthing Pod, get a creature out of your deck, and then sacrifice the original creature again. Yeah, so it's just kind of like, there are so many different lines of play. You're playing a lot of very powerful creatures. You play Voice of Resurgence, which gives you a token when it dies. You play Restoration Angel to blink your creature that you sacrificed. Like, there's so many different ways of play, and then sometimes if you get the right combination of cards, you can Birthing Pod out a combo piece and actually just kill your opponent out of nowhere
Calling Birthing Pod a combo deck is, you know, a bit of a misnomer. A lot of people do it because there are versions of Birthing Pod that can't combo.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, they can't even do it in their 75 because the deck is perfectly fine as a mid-range strategy, and it just has this small side thing where it's like, oh, you take infinite damage, or, oh, I gain infinite life.
Exactly. So you're playing 32 creatures which work so well together, and you play four artifacts that you can sacrifice a creature that you don't need to get a slightly better one out of your deck, and it just kind of like, it's just a kind of rolling wave of all of the stuff that you're doing is slightly more efficient than your opponent, and that's why I like the deck a lot.
All of the this sounds like a very fast format, because you've both said things like, oh, I mean, by round 4, even like round by round 2 for that other thing, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you're going to build a deck, are you looking to win it in 4 or 5 turns? Or are there any long games?
Not necessarily.
Both of the decks that we've talked about can't win, unless I get that really specific combination of cards, can't win before turn 6 or 7, which is pretty normal for Standard and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And me and Kian have played this game, like, I've played Birthing Pod versus Control, and it's gone to 20 turns.
Okay.
Because we're both disrupting what the other person's doing and that sort of thing.
One of the key things about modern decks is you need to be able to interact with your opponent on turns 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So this is why cards like Path of Exile, Lightning Bolt, you know, like
Thoughtseize.
Yeah, like, if you picked those three cards, I would say they would be in 80% of Bond decks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of those three cards would be a playset in the 75 in 80% of Bond decks.
Yeah.
And
For the rest, probably a 3-of.
Yeah.
Because you need to be able to do something. Because there are decks that can kill you on turn 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And some that even kill on turn 2. And yeah. you need to be able to interact with that in some way.
So it's kind of like the mid-range decks are better at winning the mid-game. The aggro decks are faster than they are in standard. The combo decks are faster and more resilient than they are in standard.
Right.
The control decks have a bigger suite of removal spells, card draw to draw from. So it's just like everything is just standard, but just ramped up that little bit more. And that's
it's
exciting.
Been taking
like,
some you know, steroids.
Yeah, it's been standard on steroids. That's what it is.
So Khan's Attack is hit the shelves. Keen, you were talking about playing a 3-color a deck, which sounds like the Jeskai colors.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any 3-color cards from Khan's Attack here that you're going to incorporate into that, or is that just too much of a stretch?
Actually, one of the cards I've been thinking about that I have. So the blue-white-red control deck, there's actually multiple different versions. You can play it with most modern decks. And some of them lead towards a more aggressive slant.
Yeah.
So they play cards like Geist of Saint Draft, Resto Angel, and they lean more towards the burn aggressive yeah. side of things with counter spells for backup. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've been thinking about putting in that deck is actually Jeskai Charm. Jeskai Charm has some really sweet abilities. One of them is just four damage to the opponent. 4 damage for 3 mana is not, you know, like yeah. amazing, but it's not bad.
Instant speed is fine.
Yeah.
You know.
One of its other abilities to put a creature on top of their opponent's deck. There are a lot of fetch lands, so that's basically a removal spell.
Yeah, so you put their creature, they sacrifice their fetch land. So they can search their library for a land, put it into play, and shuffle. But you put the creature on top of their deck in response, and so they have to shuffle the creature away.
yeah.
So yeah. it's like a hard removal spell for blue, white, red.
Are there any cards that have in Khan's that you've got excited about, including
the
on
biggest,
deck?
The biggest addition was the fetch lands that came out in Khan's of Tarkir. Before they printed the allied color ones, which are the colors that are next to each other on the color wheel, they didn't exist in Modern before they're in Khan. So as soon as they printed them in Khan, they're legal in Modern. It immediately made the mana base of my deck better. I can play those fetch lands because I was playing like blue-green fetch lands just to fetch Forest Swamp out of my deck and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So now that I can get Plains or Forests out with Windswept Teeth, my mana's a lot better. I take less damage from my lands. And it just makes it a little bit more consistent, and you don't die to aggressive
so fixing. Modern loves Khan's fixing.
Yeah, loves the mana fixing.
Is Pod, like, I saw a couple of people talking about Pod and Seedrunner.
Yeah.
Do you have any in your 75?
I haven't done a heap of changes yet because we've been looking at Standard, we've been looking at Sealed because we've got the PTQ coming up.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much powerful three-color stuff in Khan's of Tarkir, and one of the best ways to get around it costing 3 different types of mana is to sacrifice a creature to Birthing Pod and just get it out of your deck and put it into play without even paying for it. So, yeah, you can get a Siege Rhino out, hit them with it, get the life gain and damage to them, hit them for 4, then sacrifice it next turn. And
or even Resto Angel it.
Resto Angel it, yeah. So there's going to be, I think, a bit more of a mid-rangey Pod deck where playing Anafenza, playing Siege Rhino. So, but like, Khan's of Tarkir... Okay, Theros didn't add anything to Modern. What did it... Thoughtseize was already in Modern.
It made Modern more accessible, but it didn't add anything new.
Yeah.
There was like Hushwing Griff and a couple of other
There's
cards.
There's not Hushwing Griff's in the core set.
I always lump them together.
Theros added nothing. And so people are like, this is what it's going to be like for Modern. They'll add 2 or 3 cards a year.
Yeah.
Khan's of Tarkir is like, bam, fetch lands. Monastery Swift Spear is like one of the best aggressive one drops ever printed.
Right. In Legacy, Vintage, and Modern.
Yeah, it just won the Legacy tournament on the weekend, a brand new Khan's card.
Wow.
Then there is this question of Jeskai Ascendancy, which is the brand new combo deck in Modern. So the combo in this case is infinitely recurring abilities until you can just kill your opponent in one hit. So there are a bunch of combo decks in Modern. One of them is Scapeshift, which sacrifices a bunch of lands. You get a bunch of different lands out of your deck, and all of them deal 3 damage to the opponent when they come in. And that only costs you 4 mana.
If you want to know how that works, just Google Valakut the Mountain and, you know, read that card.
Yeah, or Scapeshift.
Yeah.
Another combo deck in Modern is Splinter Twin, which is an enchantment that goes on a creature, and you can tap the creature to make a copy of it, but you copy a creature that untaps something when it comes into play. So you put it on Restoration Angel, and you'll... No, not Restoration Angel. Deceiver Exarch or Pestermite.
Yeah.
You tap itself to make a copy of itself. When the copy comes into play, you untap the original one, make a million versions of it, and attack your opponent all with haste.
Yeah.
So these are the decks that can kill on turn 4 or earlier, and they just added one that can kill on turn 2, which makes us think that it's going to get banned immediately.
Strongly disagree.
Are there any cards that have been banned already from Karns, or do they...
No, this is all speculative. All speculative. All
right. The banning... when's the next banning?
January,
yeah.
Oh, it's a calendar thing.
It's monthly, yeah.
They'll get together
in a few months.
There was a banning like a week after Karns of Tarkir came out, and they didn't ban anything then. Like the ban list had no changes.
Yeah, there was like no changes to it.
Yeah.
The last banner restricted announcement, they took stuff off the banned list because they realized that the power level could support Bitter Blossom because these fairies decks weren't really good, and they took Wild Nacaddle off because
what was that? Wild
Nacaddle is a one drop for green that gets pumped up if you have a forest and a plains in play.
Wild the cattle.
Wild Nacaddle. Like N-A-C-A-T-L. It's like a Aztec sounding.
I was imagining Wild the cattle. Like you've got all these domesticated cows.
The cattle.
And you go, no, get out there, man. Go pick on them predators. Yeah. And use your horns. You're huge.
You've got to wild the cattle.
Get angry. Come on. That's not a card.
Yeah, but they unbanned that, and neither of those cards have been in any decks because they're just they realize that they're not as powerful.
Well, the cattle has seen fringe play, but nothing exciting.
Not very much. Mm. So this new combo deck is built around Jeskai Ascendancy, which costs blue, white, red for an enchantment. It says whenever you cast a non-creature spell, all your creatures get +1/+1 until end of turn and untap them. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell as well, you may draw a card and discard a card. And you can kill your opponent on turn 2 by playing a Birds of Paradise, which is green. You can tap it to add any color to your mana pool.
Or Noble Hierarch.
On turn 2, you play Jeskai Ascendancy, that thing off your Birds of Paradise and your two lands. Then you play a free spell from your hand that costs 0. Like Gataxian Probe. Look at your opponent's hand, draw a card.
You cycle a card, look at your opponent's hand, draw a card.
Yeah, Jeskai Ascendancy triggers, untaps your creatures, which produce mana. You've drawn a card from Jeskai Ascendancy, and then you just play more and more free spells or spells that cost one.
And every single time,
your Birds of Paradise is getting +1/+1.
And then you hit them for 20, and then you hit them for 20 cards.
With your Birds of Paradise on turn 2.
So now, why don't you just play that? End of Modern.
Now, the reason why I...
done.
Yeah, the reason why I don't think this deck is very good... the deck is obviously very good. Like, it's winning
it's those
tournaments.
Round two wins that really shit me, you know?
Yeah.
So Kian's playing his blue-white-red control deck. His opponent goes first. It's like, Birds of Paradise. Kian's like, I'm going to put this land into play tapped. That man land we're talking about. His opponent's like, cool, you're dead.
Right.
Oh, good, cool. Let's go to the next round. Sure, that sounds great.
But I could just as easily play my Scalding Tarn. They're like, cool, play Jeskai Ascendancy. I'm like, on the stack, Lightning Bolt, your Birds of Paradise.
Yeah, you just kill your creature.
Right.
Yeah. Or Path of Exile. They do all the thing, go through half their deck. They're like, cool, attack you for 20. You're like, I'll exile it. And they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so like, it's a very powerful combo deck that can get people. But it is reasonably fragile. Now, it's nowhere near as fragile as its standard counterpart. There is a Jeskai Ascendancy combo deck in standard.
It's essentially
the same thing. It's just like 2 or 3 turns slower, doesn't have any counter spells.
Because you've got no Birds of Paradise or anything to make mana on turn 1.
Yeah, but, you know, the decks can be interacted with fairly basically by just killing their creatures, which is one of the reasons why I don't think the cards will get banned.
Okay, so going forwards, after where we are now, what is the future of Modern? Is there going to be a post-Modern, or we're not following that?
there could be.
Post-Modern is just standard, I think, unfortunately.
Okay. So what's the future of Modern? What are we looking like? You know, with these new sets of cards, have we got any hint of where it's heading?
Yeah, so people always have their opinions about formats and stuff in general. Modern,
especially. What's your opinion, Aaron
Graham?
My
opinion is blue was not very powerful in Modern before.
That's because you want blue to be very powerful and work really well with white.
Blue's
and
really
then
great.
You but can be in a blue-white paradise.
Yeah, exactly. My birthing project is black, white, green. That's where I'm at right now, David.
Wow. That's dark.
Blue was not good enough.
No, to be fair, blue's in three of my decks.
Yeah, they've added, along with Jeskai Ascendancy in that combo deck, they've added two very powerful card draw spells called Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time, which both have Delve. In Modern, with fetch lands, really easy card draw spells, it's really easy to fill up your graveyard and then reload with these brand new card draw spells.
Yeah.
And these have suddenly juiced blue decks back up. Blue-red Delver was not very powerful because it didn't have a good way of drawing heaps and heaps of cards the longer the game went on. So you could deal them 15 damage and then they would climb back into the game and kill you.
Yeah.
But now you're drawing so many more cards than them. Really efficiently, it's looking like all the colors are going to finally be in balance. But I don't think any particular deck has been knocked out.
I think Treasure Cruise or Dig Through Time could get banned. Like, I think it's one of them, not both.
But no decks are running both, though.
No, but I think one will eventually...
But if you ban one, then people will just play the other one.
But the thing is, like, people are figuring out at the moment which one's better, right? Mm. Like, you can cast Treasure Cruise for one blue, draw three cards at sorcery, or you can cast Dig Through Time at instant for two blue. Mm. And, like, I think people will figure out that one is better than the other,
yeah.
And then Wizards might ban that one. But I don't think they're going to ban both, which is good.
Yeah. Adding a bit of juice to blue, and then all the other decks were kind of, like, in flux anyway, like being the best deck or whatever.
I'd like to say something else about the future of Modern.
Go on.
I think...
You tell us, Ken.
I think Modern is going to start to get very exciting. The reason I say this is with the new way the sets are going to be featured, they have the ability to put more powerful cards in the sets because they will be around for less time in Standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this means that, like... To a certain extent, Wizards are going to be able to throw the gloves off, flex their muscles, and have a bit of fun. So I think more cards are going to be pushed in different directions, and that's going to make Modern really exciting. The other thing is Wizards is actually just getting better at designing cards.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it very clearly if you look over Magic's history. They made mistakes. They've made a lot of mistakes. And they're making
ugly,
less.
And just ugly designs and stuff. And their designs are getting better and better. And it only means better things when you add brand new, really well-designed cards into a pool of 10,000 plus cards.
Are we going to see... are the fairy decks going to come back?
Probably.
Super strong?
Yeah, one day.
And more importantly, will there be a badger deck?
No.
Well, unless there's a badger theme in one of the sets coming out in the next year, I doubt it.
Yeah.
They really
once they start
listening to us and realizing that
badgers are really the future.
Charging Badger / Rampaging Beaver is we are the Rampaging Beaver Network and we want badgers.
If there was an infect badger, it would see play and infect.
Oh yeah,
infect badger. Infect your badger, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, nothing some penicillin won't fix.
What do you think of Modern, David?
Loving it. Sounds super exciting. Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit into Neats and Toys because before the pod, we asked for questions regarding Modern. And
okay.
Guess what?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Tell you what, you jumped on that. Yeah.
No. Do you know who it is? Don't say it. Don't say it. You don't.
Imtim.
What?
Imtim.
Tim. It's the Meadax!
Tim's the Meadax, eh?
Yeah, he's busting to get into some Modern. And he says to us, how do I get into Modern without getting the snot absolutely kicked out me balls?
He's been kicked so hard that snot is coming out of his balls.
I think he's got a testicle infection if he's got... He's referring to snot.
That's not snot, Meadax. That's pus.
Yeah. And yes, so I'm worried about his downstairs section because he's often losing his shit.
Yep.
He's
getting snot kicked out of his balls.
Yeah, I think just from the waist down, the guy's a wreck. Yeah. And you know, Tim, we don't want to lose you, so go see your GP.
He told me his potato had an infection this week. Actually,
his potato infection.
He sent me a Snapchat of him just pouring money on his potato, which had an infection.
I think that's his nickname for his gear.
His
potato.
His junk.
His junk.
Oh, dear.
He refers to that as his potato.
Oh, I definitely watched
the
video.
Yeah, I'm just going to strain the potato. I heard him say that.
So when he sent that photo
yeah. to you. Yeah, that was a video. It was a video.
I saw a video of his
potato.
Was
the pus coming out the end of the potato?
I wasn't paying that close attention.
Oh, dear.
Thank God.
I had my hand on my potato, so.
All right, so we don't want any more pus coming out of the meat axe's potato or his balls. How does he keep the snot within his balls whilst playing Modern?
This is one of the really good things about Modern. Once people, all your lands cost you life. For them to come into play. So, really?
You never mentioned that earlier. What is Modern?
So Modern, like, because you have fetch lands, and fetch lands are so good because they can get the the shock lands out of your deck, like, you know, Island Swamp or Plains Forest or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can get them from your fetch lands. But in Birthing Pod, sometimes I've had the turn one play of play a fetch land, lose a life, get a shock land that comes into play, I shock myself, go to 17 on turn one.
Right.
And then play Thoughtseize.
And you can Thoughtseize, go to 15.
Right.
And then on turn two, I play another fetch land, I have to get another shock to fix my mana, and then pay two life for Birthing Pod, and go to like 13 on turn two or something. Like, it's...
So I think, you know, what the meat axe needs to learn is don't necessarily do that.
Play a burn deck. Right. Play a burn deck.
The burn deck is actually really good and really terrifying. I've lost to it a bunch.
Yeah. So you turn one, lightning bolt your face. After your opponent has gone to 13,
lightning bolt your face.
They're on 10 life now.
And you still have like 5 cards in hand.
Yeah. There are a lot of cheap ways to get into Modern. A lot of them are the convoluted combo decks. There's a new Narset combo deck. Have you seen that one?
And they're all just getting cheaper. Mm-hmm. Like, the expensive part of Modern is fetch lands, and they've just reprinted 5 of them, which has also brought down the price of the other ones as well. Yeah. You know, Scalding Tarn has dropped from 80, 70, depending where you check, to 50.
The blue fetch lands were $100 at their peak, and now they're $50.
I think, just to argue from Tim's corner, the meat axe, it's probably not necessarily about the cost, is it? It's also a game. You want to jump in there and have some fun. Yeah. And like some of the combos that you've outlined tonight make, you know, some of us will just be going, I can't go anywhere near that. I have no idea that's even heading my way.
Play Lightning Bolt.
Like,
So it's a burn deck is a reasonable way. So you could Google up a few burn decks for Modern.
Yeah, Google a few burn decks. But even if you don't, there are, the Modern decks that win the tournaments that we have in store change from week to week.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago it was Birthing Pod, but not my Birthing Pod. It was 4-color Birthing Pod.
No one from Seven Land Hands won shit yet.
Yeah.
And I say yet.
What one before that? Affinity. Before that, Mono Blue Time Walk one. Before that, Infect one. Like, we've got so many different decks coming out. I think the most that you can do is have knowledge of what people are trying to do.
Yeah.
So if someone tries to combo off with that Deceiver Exarch thing on turn 4, that Splinter Twin Infinite combo, if you have a removal spell in hand, it just undoes all of their thing.
Yeah.
But so they have to go for it in a spot where you're unprepared for it. And if he's not prepared for it, say he taps out to play a creature or something on his turn, whereas me and Kian would know if they have 4 mana up on... 3 mana on turn 3 and then they just pass on turn 4, they could have the combo.
Yeah.
So it's about knowledge. It's about knowledge of the decks that you can be facing, and that's the way that you're going to get ahead in Modern. And then you can play pretty much anything you want.
If this is actually how I got into Modern, this is what hooked me into Modern. I found it really exciting, and it's what's sent me on those initial steps. I just watched the Pro Tour. Like, I watched all... 10 rounds of the Pro Tour of Constructed or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was then able to learn what all these cards did. You know, like, I had no idea what Splinter Twin did before I watched the Pro Tour a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I learned. And, like, Modern is one of the formats where, without even picking up the cards and playing, you can get a lot better by just knowing what the decks do.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks ago, I learned a bit about Scapeshift. I sat down with Tom Dowling, and he was like, this is how Scapeshift kills people. And, you know, I didn't know that at the time. You know, I didn't know the exact numbers. Mm. He was like, if they have 5 lands, they can, you know, jump to 7 and deal 18 damage. So if you're on less than 18, that can be lethal. Or if you're on 20, you know, they need 8 lands to be able to kill you, which they can get from 6 lands in play. So, you know, if a Scapeshift player is tapped out with 6 lands, in the next turn, he can jump to 8 lands and then kill you.
Yeah.
You know, like... And it's just that tiny bit of information.
It would be really horrible if you come to a modern tournament with this brand new deck and someone just rattles off a bunch of stuff that's in their hand and they just kill you on turn two.
That's right.
Like, and it can still happen.
Yeah.
And you can just be like, but I didn't even get to play anything.
Yeah.
Which is why having knowledge about it allows you to construct at least vaguely a sideboard. But even having knowledge like that about Scapeshift, like I didn't know that. Those numbers specifically, jumping from 5 to 7, and if you've taken damage, it depends on the thing. So all you need to do is just play as many games as you can. It's knowledge. So even if you jump into a modern format and get the shit kicked out of you, play 5 games with each opponent, they'll kick the shit out of you while explaining how the deck works. Like, we don't have jerky players. We have some jerky players, but like, you know, a majority of players will run you through how to combat what they're doing. Like, I'll tell you whatever I need to while I crush you.
So basically, knowledge is power.
I tell you what, guys, knowledge is power in an MTG card quiz.
Oh, my God.
Back right after this with some MTG card quiz.
MTG card quiz 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's how they do it in the Himalayas, folks.
13.
Here we are. MTG card quiz. And what's happening in 6 days' time?
Halloween!
Halloween! It's Halloween-themed MTG card quiz!
This is exciting.
Yeah, let's have a
this
score recap.
This could be
recap.
A new record of 0-0 after both events.
I don't think so.
It's Aaron 0, Kian 0.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So last time, wasn't it like Kian was winning 1-0 and I clawed it back and it was really great?
As yet undefeated, I think, Aaron. Yeah.
Aaron knows
everything about cards ever.
When am I going to start actually just admitting that I do know? Nah, I've never said that.
Yeah, you did. Okay, now.
This is like shit JBag says.
There's a sub theme to this. I'd forgotten about my sub theme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's called Hey Spook, Did You Look at My Art? Hey Spook, Did You Look at My Art?
No,
question mark.
I don't get it. What is it?
Hey Spook, it's Halloween themed.
Yeah.
So, and I think in America somewhere they might say Spook. I don't know. Hey Spook.
Isn't this Spook
Scooby-Doo
like...
show? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Maybe in Scooby-Doo, but now like,
I think
a
spook
is
like a ghost.
Creepy... No, a spook is like a creepy person now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
no, but
that's
like,
what I'm
I think
to.
Originally Spook is a
here.
Ghost in
too.
Like a TV show or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it used to be, and now it's been retconned to be a creepy person. And it's like, oh, it's a bit of a spook.
Yeah, like you get a prostitute
Aaron.
On the corner going, hey, Spook, just move along. Yeah. Hey, Spook. Oh, geez, Spook. Yeah, move
along. I get that
all,
the time.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Spook.
I'm spooking you.
Hey, Spook, did you check out my ass?
Did you look at my
ass? Look at my ass.
Yeah. Right. So this is going to require a bit of remembering what the illustrations are.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Hey. All right. Which makes it very difficult as well for audio podcasts. We're just going to try our
look
best.
Look it up.
All right.
You should always have magiccards.info up
here
on the screen
go.
Next to you.
Are you ready? This is MTG Card Quiz number 10, by the way.
1-0.
I'm ready. MTG Card Quiz 1. What appears above the clouds in the art for Season of the Witch? What appears above the clouds in the art for Season of the Witch? And it should read, what appears above the trees in the clouds.
Above the trees in the clouds.
For Season of the Witch.
That's too easy, mate.
Above the trees.
I'm just going off horror tropes.
In the clouds. You're giving too many hints.
All right. Is the answer a spaceship?
Magic's all about spaceships.
Okay, so that's the card, Season of the Witch. All right, question 2. In the art for the card, All Hallows Eve.
Oh, I actually know this one.
There Damn appears it. 3 distinct characters. What are these characters?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So, that's 3.
Was that a maniacal cackle, Mr. Wildsman?
Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking Thriller. You know, what's that, that little rap that they have in the middle of that? Yeah.
The evil of the thriller.
Of the thriller.
Because this is Thriller.
Thriller.
Yeah.
Right, question 3. How many bolts can we see in Frankenstein's monster's neck in the art for the card
Frankenstein's monster. How many bolts can we see in Frankenstein's monster's neck in the art for the card Frankenstein's monster?
There are some just proper horror tropes in early magic history. Yeah,
just out of curiosity, if a bolt is going from one side of the neck to the other, is that one or two bolts?
Well, that you'll have to answer yourself.
That's not fair.
Would they be connected? Is that why?
But if it's obvious that it goes from like
bolts being connected.
Yeah, I never thought about that either. Is that how they get the electrostatic through a spine? Because the bolts are actually going through his spine.
Because I think Frankenstein's actually written on hard science.
Definitely. Yeah. Mary Shelley was deep involved in that.
Made so there's people alive today who just shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Thanks to Mary Shelley.
Thank you, Mary Shelley.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I'm only alive because of this bolt that goes all the way through my spine.
Seems very safe.
Yeah.
Hey, Spook, did you look at my art?
No.
What appears above the trees in the clouds in the art for the Season of the Witch?
Yep.
Kian.
Moon.
The moon appears above the trees in the clouds for the art Season of the Witch. What have you got, Aaron?
My answer is double-barreled.
Yeah.
Barrel number one.
Yeah.
A bat over a full moon, which is transforming into a witch on a broomstick.
Ah, very far away.
Second barrel.
No, you
Elliot
can't.
And E.T.
They're not barrels. They're just loads of answers, all of which were wrong.
Really?
It's a skull image in the clouds.
A skull? Oh,
yeah,
why?
That's it.
I actually have no idea what the art looked like.
If it had been bat or full moon or witch on a broomstick, would I have gotten like half?
No, because I picked up that you were trying to cheat.
What if it was E.T. like on the bicycle?
I would have got that. Yeah. So, actually, on mine, I have
10 bonus points.
I have actually doodled in E.T. on a little motorbike. Oh, BMX, I should say. Okay,
it's not even a BMX. It's like one of those girl bikes with a basket on the front.
Kian, in the art for the card All Hallows Eve, there appears three distinct characters. What are these characters?
I would like to say that they are Aaron Graham, Kian de Bruycinel, and David Wildsmith.
Well, they knew.
Serious answer, though.
Yeah, I was going to write
Zombie,
them down.
Witch, and Vampire.
Zombie, Witch, and Vampire.
Vampire!
That's from Kian. Aaron, what have you got?
Yeah. Jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
Like, headed man. A man with a pumpkin for a head.
Hang on, is that two answers or
no,
one?
No, that's one answer.
That's one answer.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
Witch. And Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. You're hedging your bets there.
Yeah.
Hope I've got you here.
I think you've got me. You've gone for very generic answers, though.
Yep.
Okay, what I have, Vampire, after looking at the card, I wrote a pumpkin.
Yes!
A ghost. And a bear lion gargoyle type thing. I would have
expected Michael Jackson. I get 2 points.
So there's no zombie, there's no witch, and there's no vampire.
Yes.
So Kian's got nothing.
I knew there was definitely a pumpkin in there.
There's no Michael Jackson. There's no witch. Now I think Aaron might be in trouble because he gave too much information.
He said jack-o'-lantern man.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Like, it was specifically a head.
A jack-o'-lantern was probably correct. And then you said it's a man with a pumpkin for a head.
That's what a jack-o'-lantern is, right?
No. A jack-o'-lantern looks like that.
Yeah, it's a person.
I'll give it to you anyway.
Yeah,
because
cool.
It's like
a scarecrow with a pumpkin for a
head.
This
is how he is undefeated.
That's what it is. No, look,
I just want to make him sweat. I'll give it to him.
Oh,
look.
God. Oh,
and there's a Season of the Witch as well with the...
That is creepy.
The printout's not very good, but I think there's a whole bunch of people down here in the silhouette.
Just having
probably
a
shitload of witches.
This is how Aaron wins. He just wrangles points out of nothing.
Even if we both get zero, I definitely said pumpkin at least somewhere in my answer.
Got closer to it.
Yeah. Look.
Sure, Mr.
Because even if that's tiebreaker,
it was very difficult today. That's why we've gone for a pick a number.
Yeah.
That's the last question. So how many bolts can we see in Frankenstein's monster's neck in the art for the card Frankenstein's monster? Kian, how many are you going for?
Duo.
Two?
Four.
You're going for four?
Yeah.
Aaron Graham definitely wrote down three.
I'm going to have to say whatever I like. Maybe I was throwing you off.
Is that your answer? Four?
Four is my answer.
And you're going for two?
Yeah.
The answer is none.
So do I get a point for being closer?
No, you don't. Aaron wins.
It doesn't
even look like Frankenstein or traditional Frankenstein. It's like an orangey...
Oh, it's like an orange... It's just a...
He's just a man with a bad mullet.
Yeah, he's sewn
black
together.
He's definitely sewn together, but from people with mullets.
Aaron,
just
you've won
black
again.
Lotus into that, mate. It's
undefeated.
So good.
Well, let's get back with some neats and twos and find out what everyone's been saying and get out of here. All right, everyone, neats and twos.
Neats and twos.
Get ready. This is it. All right, so we've got the Super Series. It's back in November.
November the 2nd.
November the
2nd. Sunday, November the 2nd is the last one that's just open to the public.
Super Series.
Super Series qualifier. Super Series qualifier number 7.
This is your last... Oh, no, yeah. And then
a month later, we have the last chance qualifier, which is for the top 8 points getters from the previous qualifiers.
I'll see you in that one if I don't
see
win
you in
the
that
next
one.
Guys,
yeah,
come on.
Beat you in the final.
You've got to get there. Did we hear off... there's missing video we haven't done commentary for. Is Toby with us still? Toby GV?
Check my neats and twos and see what
your
he said.
Your neats and twos machine.
Toby says, it's nearly done. Do you think we can record the commentary in a week or so? It's the only video I've got, though.
It's the only video I've got.
Yeah, I said, do you have any like Super Series videos?
Oh, videos.
I just meant one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So by
we're
going to
record
videos,
the commentary for
one video
in
yeah.
a week.
Okay, so we better get that up and get it on there. And then there will be two more videos after that. And then the big day.
The big
Super
final.
Series day. Wow,
very
that'll be
exciting.
Huge. Listener feedback. We've got... there's one more question we probably can we can bring up.
Yeah.
Justin Edwards wrote in just to ask if we had any special guests today.
No.
Top of the show.
Am I not special
yeah, we do.
Anymore?
Marshall Sutcliffe. From Limited Resources. I was just angling for he wants girls back. He wants Maddie back.
He just wants to listen to ladies.
Yeah.
In
well,
his ears.
Next fortnight, we're talking with Miss Rockingham 2014.
Not Miss Rockingham. Oh.
Mrs. Rockingham.
Yeah.
2014. Sarah Underwood just coming down.
Lovely lady.
Yeah, probably, like we've said, I said to this to Maddie, she'd probably ride a horse in. I haven't seen her without a horse.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, she's good
wearing
on a horse.
Jodhpurs.
Is that what they call them? I was going to ask
jodhpurs.
Her that. Is that what them hot pants are that girls wear when they're
hot,
riding a horse?
Hot horse pants are called jodhpurs.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should come into fashion.
Jodhpurs. Just people just walking down the road with those weird hats that sit slightly above the head.
Yeah.
And jodhpurs.
If
and like a weird velvet jacket.
Yeah.
And a whip. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I'm into this.
Yeah, this is going
to
be a dangerous.
Actually, I've just convinced myself to be into it.
She'll sort you out.
I would like to request...
She's not a pushover.
No.
I would like to request that Aaron leaves his bedroom life at home for future reference.
Well,
I'm
last
wearing
time...
jodhpurs right now, Kian.
I thought we were all naked. Anyway.
I'm wearing only jodhpurs.
If you've got questions about jodhpurs or any of the board games, any general board games, fire away at what's our Facebook page?
Facebook.com/7landhand.
There you go. Or tweet us.
Twitter.com. No, @7landhand.
@7landhand. And we'll fire those at Sarah and let her do all the heavy lifting next month. And you might even join us for that, for your first podcast with a girl.
Yep.
Yeah, all right, that'll be good.
Podcast with Ken every other week, though.
So. Yeah, that's fair. Same thing. And if you haven't already got one and you make a comment that we read out, hi, magic nerd badge.
We're actually running out. We need to make a new batch.
No.
Can I ask you how much they cost?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
We're giving them away.
Let's see.
I think we need to put additions on these.
Badges.
So when we get the next set made, it has to be hypernagic nerd badge.
He can't even
2.0.
No,
hypernagic nerd.
It won't be hypernagic nerd badge next time. It'll just be a picture of rampaging beaver and just say 7landhand under it.
Yeah,
I think
that'd
be awesome.
That was the design we came up with.
But see,
almost immediately
after
making the hypernagic nerd badges.
But the second badge can't just be strictly better than the first badge.
It's not
and that badge
better.
Would
it's
be
not.
Strictly better.
Hypermagic nerd badge.
It's quality.
It's quality.
Absolute quality.
There's less of them in the world. They're rarer.
It's
they're worth
the
more
edition.
In the secondary market. Exactly. Alpha edition.
There might actually be more of them because we accidentally bought two boxes, remember, that time.
Ooh.
I screwed up the order and ended up getting double.
Yeah. That's why we're still giving them away instead of sweet charging badger ones.
Yeah. So get your hypermagic nerd badges before they go out. And guess what? Three of those little suckers on the way to Vegas.
Oh, wow.
To our friends over at the Ice Cream Social.
It's like just down the road.
It is. No, it's on the other side of the planet.
Oh, sorry. I got those.
The other Vegas.
I get those confused.
Yeah, it's the other Vegas.
Not Bun Vegas.
Not Bun Vegas. It's a small town just outside of Gidgiganup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a
place. That beyond the black stump, Dave?
Oh, fuck no. I'm bad at suburbs, never mind some of the mad places they've got.
My friend lives in Bunbury and he says it's the worst place to live ever, and they all call it Bun Vegas, Las Vegas, ironically, because it's a hole.
Like Bris Vegas.
Yeah, like that.
They say that. I wonder if Brisbane is no good. You know, there's a place down south called something like Wokalup, which I always read things backwards. And it's
pull a cow.
Pull a cow. Yeah.
I pulled a cow the other week.
Pulled a cow.
How did you both get that so quickly?
Our brains work in that.
I'm
kind
still
of
trying
thing,
to figure it out in my head. I'm like, huh? Backwards words.
But yeah, I went to a club the other week and pulled a cow. I was pretty upset.
Did you? Yeah, bad luck, man.
I'm so sorry.
My friend in Bunbury actually said he pulled a one the other week, and I was like,
pulled
why
a one?
Did you like out of ten? Oh, out of ten. Just after we have our Girl Gamer podcast,
know,
we talk
so
about
unsexist.
Such sexist topics. But he said that, and I was like, I don't believe you, because who was a one?
No one's a one.
No one's a one.
Aaron,
you literally
have you
don't have a
mirror?
Face. You're a one.
They've got photos of you living arm in arm with Kian. So. Oh, good times.
Oh, I'm just ribbing you, man.
Hey, you know what?
The one was you, Aaron.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's who I was talking to.
Just ribbing you.
You know, I listened to the end of one of our podcasts, and we actually offered money for someone to put a hashtag in one of their tweets to us, and nobody did it. Actually offered cash.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? That's for those of you who don't hang on after Aaron's sign off. Mm-hmm. There's often an Easter egg at the end of these shows, and sometimes we're offer cash bonuses. Yeah.
What if we offered a hash brown for a hashtag?
Shut up, Kian. Right. Hey, to finish off housekeeping, Axel's Philosophy Corner.
Oh, yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah. You thought you were going to get through one without one. Here he is. Axel's written in today to our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so my question for Axel's Philosophy Corner today is very bodily function centric, which is not outside of our realms.
Yeah.
I refer you back to the meat-axe conversation.
Of our realms.
Yeah.
We've never answered a bodily function question here on the show.
No.
Here we go. He's asked us today, would you rather shit yourself every time you get aroused?
Yes.
Or have your bowels and bladder both evacuate from your genitals in one vile liquidy soup.
Oh, gross.
That reminds me of chickens, don't they have that? I think we've talked about this before. Isn't it a clacker or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
They lay eggs and shit and piss all out the same thing.
And how seagulls don't wee, they just poop and thing out of the same. Oh, fuck.
Well, that's
every time
thing.
You get aroused, you shit yourself.
Yeah, would you rather shit yourself every time you get aroused?
Or pee and poo out of your penis.
Yeah.
At the same time in a liquid.
If you have a penis. If you're a girl.
Oh.
So is the second option permanent?
Yeah. This is the life choice.
Permanent.
It's a philosophy
so
corner.
So many questions, though.
Yeah, go.
Do you get UTIs from poo coming out of your penis?
No. We've evolved beyond that.
Then that one. Because that would remove all the negatives of pooing out of your penis.
Really?
Bowels
and bladder both evacuate from your genitals in one.
Yeah, because then if you're used to it and there's no negatives to it, then just do that one.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I have gotten aroused at work once or twice, and you know.
Yourself.
And you don't want to be aroused and shoot yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Just draw more attention to you.
And every time you want to hang out with your girlfriend, you're like, getting aroused right now. Fuck, go to the toilet.
It's the accidental. Yeah. It's like the back of the bus boner or in the classroom boner, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to have that.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I was aroused at work.
It would be so funny, though, if your partner got aroused. Every time they got aroused, they shit themselves. Because you could just sext them all the time. Just to
send a sexy picture of yourself and I'm like, shit myself at work.
But how easy would it be to know if someone liked you, though? You just go, you know, you'd be hanging out, going, how you going? And they just went, I didn't know you liked me.
So do you
want
to go
to
lunch? And they're like, oh, no, I just have irritable bowel.
Yeah. No.
That's non-arousal-related shitting myself.
Yeah. Would you like to go get a drink one day? Liar. But then you'd have done that yourself if everybody was like that.
It would lead to the classic saying, is that just shit in your pants, or are you happy to see me?
Classic saying.
Oh, we get back to Meadax, who's always losing his shit. He's just forever aroused.
Oh, that's why.
Which is true.
That's the Meadax by which he is referred to.
Isn't there a song? Isn't there a song, Forever Aroused?
No.
I thought it had Penny Aroused.
I'm sure someone has written a song called Forever Aroused.
Aaron, get on that.
I'm already on it.
Yeah. Okay. I thought there was a penny flute version of Forever Aroused, but that's okay. All right. We're not going to go for it. Right. Philosophy Corner's done. Cash, Super Series, Listen to Feedback, Up Magic Nerds. I think we're done.
Competition.
For?
We've got to decide the...
Oh, yeah.
We have to decide what the actual criteria is.
Right. We're not doing that now. We'll do that when we'll do that with Sarah next fortnight.
Yeah, cool. All right. Sure.
So you're going to... People out there
so
can win...
I'll find something.
Win
criteria one.
Jimmy yeah. Blob and...
Yeah, no, we're live. This is it.
Criteria one. Yeah. Listen to Seven Land Hand.
Yeah, listen to Seven Land Hand.
I had... People in pointing at the Garrick saying, "We listen to Seven Land Hand.
Yeah.
Can we take the Garrick home?" I was like, "Oh no, you need to listen to it so that we can explain what the rules are."
That's exactly correct.
Yeah,
and there'll be a question next fortnight. The question, and it'll be about something that if they'd listened to Seven Land Hand, they'd know this because we've said this for the last few months.
So I think everyone turns it off just before the end.
What? I think I have a theory of what the question is because I don't know.
I've got no idea.
These monkeys don't tell us. These monkeys just don't tell me anything.
We haven't decided on the question yet.
I think the question...
You're referring to us as monkeys?
Yes. Yeah. Look at that beard, Aaron.
Monkeys don't have beards. Monkeys are covered in beard.
Yeah, they're all
beards.
They're
hairy. Yeah. Look at that beard. You look at your own beard.
That's the next competition. happens when Kian shaves?
Anyway, I think the question is going to be, what are most jokes on Seven Land Hand about?
No, that'd be a bit easy. I think everyone knows that. That's street
badger,
knowledge.
Or B... Knobs.
It's going to be knobs.
I think it's poop.
Yeah, poop gets it.
Poop and dicks.
We lean on toilet jokes quite
dicks
a bit as well.
And poop and dicks and poop. Poop and dicks and badgers.
Yeah.
Oh, which we then refer to as beavers.
You know what, guys? Doing a pod when there's a girl in the room, it just disarms you as far as knob jokes concerned. I had a couple of knobservation type stories last week.
Couldn't
launch into them.
Did she have any knobservations?
I didn't want to start talking about knobservations while Maddie was in the room, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it just seemed a little bit forward.
Do you think that Maddie's going to listen to this episode?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I don't
We're
think so.
Safe.
Yeah.
We're in trouble if she does, though.
Yeah. Why's that?
Aaron is
just
about to proclaim...
talking about her when she's not here, I don't know.
No. Aaron's about to proclaim... his love for her.
I know I am. I for one, love Madison Jones. She's my favorite. Like I said in the show notes, she's the best girl.
Yeah.
Best Seven Land Hand girl ever.
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 She's also the worst Seven Land Hand girl.
Oh,
ever.
In your book. In
I
my
mean,
book, she's great.
To be fair.
Who is the worst Seven Land Hand girl then?
Kian.
You got an answer every
he's
time.
Not even
yeah,
a girl.
That's why it's funny.
Because
he's not a girl. I see.
He's not a girl.
That's such a. Oh wow.
Oh.
We're really fucking plumbing the depths of humor right here.
Blob an outro. Yep.
All right. So thank you very much, Dr. David, for running us through this river, this treasure cruise through modern. See what I did there?
Yeah,
thank you to Dig Through Time, Kian DeVries Tennell. That nickname had nothing to do with his thing. Kian, I'd like to take this point in time to apologize. You are not a woman. And,
no.
And
what do you mean?
If anything, I am the one in our relationship. I mean, not our relationship, our friendship. Yep, cool. All right, today I'm going
to... just like point out, we did establish last week that there's nothing wrong with being a woman. In fact, it'd be better. It'd be better if Kian was a woman.
Oh, so we're actually giving him compliments.
See, you guys just digging yourself politically incorrect hole.
Yeah, okay, cool. Today I'm going to read off the worst flavor text from Khans of Tarkir.
Woohoo!
You guys can let me know which you think is the worst.
Go.
The flavor text from Kintry Warden. The amber of the tree and the blood in my veins are the same.
We're not going to hear that over the tune. But, yep.
set adrift. The envoy spoke, and Sidisi replied, that's the end of the flavor text.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's good. No. That's all right.
Ride down is a quote from a Mardu insult, which is, I will wash you from my hooves.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the three?
No, there's one more.
One more.
Scout the borders is my favorite flavor text.
Okay.
It's so bad. This is from Sidisi. She says, I am in my element. The element of surprise.
Ah!
Sidisi,
I hate that one the most.
That's the worst one.
That's the worst.
Oh, my God.
Good night.
Choose.
Forever aroused. I wanna be forever aroused. Forever aroused. I wanna be forever aroused.
Yeah.